How did that sheep get a broken leg? Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. We've been thinking about our relationship with the Good Shepherd. If sheep are famous for their conformity, that would be a good trait for us to cultivate. There's nothing worse than mutinous mutton. The shepherd may have to take drastic measures to keep that stubborn one safe. Here's Jim.
Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. Remember the context. Jesus is talking to the disciples in response to their question, who is greatest in the kingdom? He took a little child, set him in the midst, and said, you must be converted and become humble like a little child if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven. Now he says, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Verse 11 probably doesn't belong there. The best and the oldest texts do not have it there. Someone a long time ago added the phrase, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Now that's a true statement, but it was probably brought over to this passage in Matthew from the appropriate passage where it occurs someplace else. Then verse 12, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? If he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. By way of help to those who were not able to be in the services yesterday, we suggested three things. First of all, the picture, the sheep. If you understand sheep and taking care of sheep, then you understand the truth of the passage with greater clarity than those of us who haven't been around sheep. Sheep are fundamentally helpless. They don't have teeth to tear. They don't have strong legs to run. They don't have good eyesight. They don't have good hearing. They're just dumb sheep. Dumb meaning that they are not bright. They are creatures of habit. If one sheep takes off, the other 99 will follow wherever it goes. And that's probably why, or one of the reasons why the shepherd here is so concerned about the one lost sheep. Jesus was talking to an audience that was filled with people who were around sheep all the time. So he would talk to them about sheep, and they would understand, much as I might talk to you about stocks and bonds, or talk to you about air conditioning, or talk to you about computers. You would have knowledge about those things from your workaday world, and I could draw parallels between things that are true in the world of computers or air conditioning, and you could translate those truths over into spiritual truths. You could see parallels and hopefully understand spiritual things easier as they were illustrated or compared by things that you already know about. Jesus used the illustrations concerning money a great deal to teach people because everybody understood money. It was something they used every day. So Jesus could take that picture, money, or in this case, the picture of sheep and the shepherd, and teach lessons. That's what he means when he says, what think ye? What do you think? He was appealing to his audience to think, to use their minds, to see what they knew and how what they knew about sheep could help them see what he was teaching about being a follower of his and about the attitudes that he wants to see us cultivate in our lives as Christians. The picture of the sheep. The second thing we talked about was the parable itself. And you know that this parable was used twice here in Matthew 18 and again in Luke chapter 15. There it occurs in the trilogy of lost things. There the subject is, why do you, Jesus, welcome all these crass sinners, these publicans, these harlots? How come they come to hear you and you delight with them, you even eat with them? How come? It was an accusation leveled against his integrity and his ministry by the religious Pharisees. They were trying to prove, or trying to discredit, rather, his whole ministry. In that context, Jesus told about a lost coin, a lost son, a lost sheep. The details of the sheep story is parallel. There were 99, one wandered away. The shepherd leaves the 99, goes out to seek the one that was lost, brings him back with great joy and rejoicing. The point of the parable in Luke 15 is Jesus going out into the place of danger to rescue, to bring back the sheep that was lost. And he uses the parable to justify his attention to people who knew they were sinners. Here in Matthew 18, a second occurrence where he uses the 99 plus the one, here he's talking to people who are believers, and here he uses the same illustration to illustrate the sense of security that a believer ought to have. His point here is that if just one believer wanders away, what does the shepherd do? Well, he goes out to the mountains to rescue, to bring that sheep back. It's a great illustration of the heart of the shepherd. The heart of the shepherd first seeks what is lost and redeems it, then he keeps what is his by pursuing. And it's that attitude of our Savior that is the foundation of our security, our knowledge that we are saved and we are safe. Now, Jesus uses this parable in this passage to encourage us to bravely cultivate attitudes of dependence. We're always trying to beef ourselves up and impress God with what we can do for Him. That always gets in God's way. Just the opposite is what God wants. God doesn't want bodacious believers. He doesn't want confident converts. He wants people who are humble, who are meek, who are long-suffering, who are gentle. Those are the people who are most pliable to God's hand and most available to God's work. But when you take that attitude of humility and when you practice meekness, you feel very vulnerable. You are vulnerable. And so what the parable illustrates is that the one who calls us to humility will not forsake us. And if we wander away, if we find ourselves endangered, he will pursue us. He will bring us back. He will keep those whom he has saved. Now, we talked about the possibilities. There were three possibilities that I could think of to suggest to you from the parable. The first is the wonderful delight of being discovered. Being discovered. The shepherd finds the sheep. The sheep doesn't seek the shepherd. The shepherd seeks and finds and saves the sheep. What a wonderful good news that is to those of us who've come to see ourselves as we are, sinners, before a holy God, helpless, unable to change ourselves. And with that truth in front of us, recognizing that truth that we cannot save ourselves, how wonderfully delicious it is to know that God, our Creator, values us, seeks us, and does it on an individual basis. If even one leaves the 99, the shepherd doesn't just discard that and say, well, that's just something we'll have to discount from the bottom line. But if even one goes astray, the shepherd goes, seeks, finds. The second thing that we talked about yesterday was this whole idea of being secure, knowing that I can never wander farther than the shepherd can reach. I can never exhaust his grace and mercy when I'm one of his sheep, that he will come, he will pursue, he will seek to bring me back to a place of safety and security. The third possibility that I suggested yesterday in the second service, didn't get to it the first service, and that was that this brings joy to the shepherd's heart. Notice that. Verse 13 says, if he should find it, that's the lost sheep, assuredly, that's a very strong word. It means you can bet your bang on it. It means there is no doubt about this. If he should find this sheep that went away, assuredly, I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. The third possibility from the parable is that we actually give pleasure to our Heavenly Father by being found. It tells us that the Heavenly Shepherd doesn't come after us with a stick in his hand and with a scowl on his face. Now we need to understand that, because Satan would have us think that our Heavenly Father wearies of our unfaithfulness, that he actually gets exasperated, that he feels high irritation with us in our failures. No, the scripture consistently says that God is long-suffering, he's gentle, he's meek. Now, he will bring discipline, he'll spank, always to correct, always to help. But he doesn't come after us like an irritated shepherd. He comes after us because he values us. And when he finds us and he restores us, he forgives us, he cleanses us, he takes us back to the place of safety and protection, there's great joy in his heart. In Hebrews chapter 12, Jesus is held up as the model for us, and this phrase is used. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. For the joy that was set before him, what was that joy? It was the sheer delight our Heavenly Father, our Creator God, experiences in rescuing and redeeming us and bringing us back to himself. Somehow, that gives delight, gives joy to the Heavenly Father. So when I confess my sins to him, when he has sought me, convicted me, made me aware of my failings, and when I then yield to him and confess my faults, he rejoices. That's something that he celebrates, something that all heaven notices. In the parable, there's more joy over that one who is rescued than over the 99 who did not need rescuing. How does that mean? That God has more pleasure in a irresponsible, undisciplined, disobedient believer than he has in the 99 believers who are obedient, who are careful, who are following him? I don't think so. The parable is not put here to encourage us to be irresponsible. The parable is put here to tell us that our Father delights in restoring us to himself. And like the Good Shepherd, he brings us back with celebration, with joy. Other passages of Scripture talk about how he takes delight and how he rewards the 99 who do not go astray, if you want to take the other half of the parable. I must have been a teenager. An evangelist came through our town and told a story. He had been in the Near East and had spent some time with the Bedouins. The Bedouins are shepherds. Their whole livelihood revolves around the sheep, taking care of the sheep, and from that they get the milk and they get the meat and they get the skin and they get the wool, the sheep and goats, and they make cheese, and their whole economy rotates around the sheep. And in order for the sheep to be fed, they will tear down their tents and move to whole other areas in order to find fresh water and food for the flock. So the flock is at the heart of the Bedouin life. This evangelist had spent some time in a Bedouin tent, and he became well acquainted with the second son, who at that time was in charge of the herd. And he noticed that there was one lamb, one middle-aged sheep, with a broken leg, and it had been carefully splinted. And he asked the young man about this sheep and how did it break his leg, and the young man said, well, I broke it. You broke it. Yeah, don't you like the sheep? Oh, sheep are very important. Well, why did you break its leg? The story was that this particular sheep was what we would call a strong-willed sheep and was always persistently wandering away. So, rather than risk it being discovered by wolves, overtaken by lions, falling into a cliff, the young shepherd broke the leg of the sheep. Now, with the broken leg, the sheep is not able to act independently. It's now more dependent upon the shepherd. And the shepherd would have to take special pains to see that this sheep was watered and fed. Well, this seemed so strange to the evangelist that he pressed the question. And the young shepherd said, when that bone heals, this sheep whose leg I deliberately broke will be the most obedient sheep in the whole flock. It will be sensitive to me. It will follow me. It will stay close to me. And the rest of the sheep then will follow it. Can you see the parallel? How often God graciously breaks one of our legs when we are prone to wander, when we are persistent in disobedience, when we're insensitive to the things of God, when we're drawn out to the bright lights and the fast crowd. And God may graciously break your leg, give you a situation, give you a condition, give you a set of circumstances that will inhibit you and make you even more dependent upon Him. But when you have come through the healing, because of the time you have in special relationship with the Heavenly Father during that recuperative period, your heart will be more tender to Him, and you'll be a better leader of the rest of the sheep. How many of you had experiences like that in your life? Raise your hand. Where God broke your leg, yeah. I can raise both my hands, yeah. Yeah. It's wonderful to talk about in the rearview mirror, isn't it? It's not at all pleasant to go through at the moment. And yet even that is the gracious, loving care of our great shepherd, the shepherd who loves us so much. Part of that, too, is in this. That is, the shepherd has to take special pains, has to go the extra mile, has to go the distance for this one sheep who is persistent in wandering away. And that extra effort is valued. And because of that special relationship with that one sheep, then that sheep becomes the source of rejoicing for the Heavenly Father. This is a good parable to use when someone has wandered far away and gotten themselves deeply involved in a lot of stuff that now they regret. And when you're talking to them about their return to the Lord, take them here and show them that as impossible and as illogical and as unreasonable and as unfair as it may seem to be on the surface, God is more delighted to have them home than they could ever imagine. And their repentance and their returning to Him is an occasion of joy in heaven. It's not the gotcha kind of attitude in God. It's the, you're mine, you're home. Can you think of other places in the New Testament where Jesus used the teaching or the truth about the sheep and the shepherd to teach great truth? Today I remind you about the passage in Matthew 24, 25, where Jesus discusses the end of human history as we know it, after he returns from heaven, after the battle of Armageddon. All the living people yet living on the earth will be brought together and divided into two groups. What will they be? Sheep, goats. Sheep, goats. When Jesus sent out the 70, he says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." So be cautious. Don't be cowardly, but be cautious. In Matthew chapter 7, I believe it is, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount warned his disciples that there would be false teachers who would try to gain their confidence and their trust, and they would appear as wolves in sheep's clothing. Sheep's clothing. So there's a consistent pattern in the teaching of the Lord Jesus where he uses sheep as his primary illustration. Turn to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus again picks up this analogy, this teaching tool about sheep. In John chapter 9, a very significant miracle takes place. Jesus heals a blind man. You may remember the story. He healed him, and then he disappeared. The blind man is recognized as now seeing. And the official authorities, the religious authorities, are examining him to see how this can be. So they first call in his parents. You remember the story? And they say, "You say this man was born blind. How does he now see?" The parents said, "We can tell you one thing for sure. He was born blind. How he sees now, we don't have a clue." And so they ask him, "Well, how was it you see?" And he said, "Well, a man did this and this, and I did what he said, and I see." Well, who was this man? He really doesn't know. So the authorities are frustrated because this is a significant miracle and there's no explanation. And they can't deny the evidence because the man is now seeing. Jesus introduced himself to the man who is now seeing. And the man goes back to the Jewish authorities and said, "I've got the answer to your riddle." He said, "The one who healed me is called Jesus." And that set them off.
Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. We've been thinking about the Lord's care for lambs that have lost their GPS coordinates and gone rogue. The title of Jim's sermon is The Good Shepherd 90 and 9, and there's more to come from that. The message can be yours on CD for a gift of $7 or more. That's for the single lesson. Our new series, Stories Jesus Told Volume 2, consists of 11 CDs packaged together for your offering of $38 or more. Thanks to Team Right Start for providing the funds and the prayer cover that are both essential to getting this program out. It's a privilege to co-labor with you for the gospel. Maybe the Holy Spirit will promote you from listener to partner. We hope so. Please pray about that, and thank you. To give or to order CDs, you can call 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. Or you can contact us through the website, where you'll have access to virtual tons of audio resources. It's rightstartradio.org. You can play the radio programs and play or download complete sermons. And don't be afraid that you'll get solicitations, electronic or otherwise, when you give. Some ministries do that, we don't. Again, the website is rightstartradio.org. Or you can mail us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. We've talked about the one sheep with the navigation issue. What about the rest? What is God's plan for his flock? That's coming up in part two of this message. We'll see you tomorrow for Tuesday's Right Start.